Hello, everybody. Welcome to what I guess is the first official podcast for Ruhi Sleep. We did a little introduction. I say we because it's the same people who did the CFRC one, if anyone listened to the little introduction a couple weeks ago. So I'm Mike, and Andrew's here as well.
Hi there.
And we're going to be hosting, I guess we'll host every week, you know? We'll host every podcast. We'll host this podcast each week as we talk to Ruhi a little bit more in depth about some of the topics that she brought up a couple weeks ago. This podcast is an opportunity to expand upon some of the things that were brought up that we just didn't have time for in the CFRC broadcast. So hopefully you're here because you heard something and went, oh, I want to know more about that. And each week we'll talk, you know, tackle a new topic. Let Ruhi just kind of go, and as Andrew and I ask questions and engage best we can.
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah.
Sounds good to me.
Ruhi, you're here.
I am. Thank you.
How are you?
Thank you for hosting me. I'm good.
Good.
And you guys?
We're good. I mean, it's almost the end of summer.
I know.
Which is hard to believe.
I know. Sad but true.
Sad but true.
Yes.
I really love the fall. I've always been someone who's really loved the fall, but summer is probably like the next best thing, so it's still a little sad to see it go.
But it is, always. Fall, so every nice. Season
yeah.
is.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I'm even sometimes sad about winter, weirdly enough.
Sometimes. There's some things about winter I enjoy. The bats that live in my walls are asleep, you know.
Hockey.
Yeah, hockey.
Oh, you there you go. Yeah.
So this week, we're going to talk about something that is very topical with school coming back, is back to school and teen sleep around that. Something you did bring up at the last podcast, but we're going to expand into it. So first of all, do you want to tell us a little bit about what people should be thinking about if they have teenagers in the house going into the next couple weeks?
Yeah, I think I have a teenager in the house. Mm-hmm. So his summertime, your sleep is a little delayed, having fun with friends and all kinds of other activities that keep you up a little bit later than your normal time would mm-hmm. be. And then you're sleeping in a bit. And as we talked about during our last interview, we talked about how teenagers, their clocks are actually delayed as they enter puberty mm-hmm. and by at least 2 hours. Their
yeah.
circadian clocks are delayed. And those are things to keep in mind, like to understand what your own circadian rhythm is, what your chronotype is, which we talked about
yes,
as well,
we did,
whether
yeah,
you're
yeah.
a morning person or a evening person, whether you get activated as soon as the sunlight comes up and you're ready to go, or whether, you know, it takes you a little while in the morning to get up and get going. And also how much sleep you need, because each one of us is different in our sleep requirements. Someone is going to need 8 hours. Someone is going to need 9 hours. Mm-hmm. And there were guidelines that came out, 2017 Canadian guidelines that were published in the Journal of Sleep, that recommends that adolescent and youth group, mm-hmm. anywhere from 8 to 11 hours, mm-hmm. more towards more than less.
Right, right.
And so I think it's just, it would be a good time for parents
yeah.
and for teenagers to start resetting their clock back to school time, which is going to be, school starts at 8:30. You would need, like my son needs about hour and a half to get going in the morning.
Sure, yeah.
His chronotype, as we've both figured out, is a little bit more towards the evening type than morning type. But he's been, you know, slowly delaying, like going to bed a little bit early every day. He's going to bed 15 minutes early, and trying to get up at the same time, which is usually around 7 a.m. But on Wednesday night, they had a sleepover. Mm-hmm. There were 19s in my house. Teenagers. Not 19.
That's a lot.
Nine teenagers is enough.
Oh,
I think nine teenagers is like, that is 19, yeah.
Yeah.
So, they were up talking, chatting late into night, going swimming late into night. And so everything was, you could see in the morning that they were all feeling a little rough. And we had a conversation about getting their clocks reset back to school time. And now is a good time.
Yeah,
a week and a half before school would be ample time to start resetting
yeah.
your clocks. And I think that's also where parents can help guide.
Yeah.
And, you know, put your devices away at least an hour before.
Yeah.
So you're not, like, compromising your melatonin and you're not compromising the quality of your sleep, which we also talked about how important that is.
So you brought up an interesting method, a method that your son's using about every day, going to bed a little earlier, mm-hmm. but keeping the wake-up time the same. Mm-hmm. Is that something that you would suggest that works? Like for a lot of people, is that something that you can recommend?
That is recommended in terms of sleep hygiene is recommended. And that's recommended for people who also have insomnia, trying to get up at the same time.
Right.
Even if your bedtime is a little delayed, try to keep your wake-up time. So with the Canadian guidelines are also actually recommending that you should be going to bed. Teenagers should be going to bed. Everybody actually should be going to bed. But teenagers should be going to bed at the same time and waking up at the same time.
Right.
So, you know, your circadian rhythms are in tune with you. You're in tune with your circadian rhythms because with compromising sleep, we are going to be compromising learning, we're going to be compromising how we feel, how our mood is at, where our immune system's at, all of those things.
Can you go into a little more detail about that? Just from the perspective of a teen, like you're saying sleep is going to compromise all that. Can you give us an example of a teen who is not getting enough sleep? How are they interacting at school that's so different from if they've had enough sleep?
So there was a great study that was done, actually, and that showed that how there is a negative effect the next day if the teenagers were sleep deprived. Then next day they are going to be in a state of negativity, which has already been there are correlations to sleep deprivation and mood disorders. Mm-hmm. You are not going to feel very positive if you've not had, you know, good amount of sleep, because sleep is also important in terms of mood regulation as well. So if you're not feeling, you are in a state of negativity, you are going to be in a state of stress and anxiety, and that's not a good place to be when you are actually learning, because your learning will be compromised if you are compromising various states of your being.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that teens these days have a harder time keeping up with that rhythm because of all the distractions that are out there with them, like the social media and video games and stuff?
Oh, definitely.
Like, do you think it's like even 10 years ago was easier for teens to
sleep? Yeah, 10 years ago, you know, we didn't have these, we weren't constantly on.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are constantly on and we, you know, I know teens are texting at 2 or 3 in the morning. I know that. I have these conversations with the teenagers all the time about, wanting to. And some of them actually, they're like, what are we going to do? There was actually an entire group of kids that were like, well, what are we going to do for an hour before bedtime if we have to put our devices away? Like, you know, it's so boring. And then you had to, you know, you go into the explanation of what it's actually doing to your mental state and well-being, because their brains are growing.
Yeah.
And they're not very, you know, they're not very regulated.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so when it comes to that social media, phones, those types of distractions. I mean, it's pretty clear that it's a kind of ridiculous expectation that no one's going to use those things anymore. The world's changed. That's what we use. And I've heard that a lot from people. It's like, well, people just have to use it less and get it out of, you know, the mindset of a teenager. But if everyone does in the culture of high school has a phone, then you're also alienating a teenager by taking their phone away. So what suggestions can you give of, like, you can still have it, but, like, here's where you should be turning it off. Here's time you need. Like, what's your recommendation for a parent and even a teen who's probably listening to Teens Love Podcasts? So they're probably listening to this saying, like, well, what can I do? I have my phone. I need it. What can I do to still get better sleep?
Yeah, so I think an hour before would be great. So, like, an hour before, put it on airplane mode. Preferably, put it on airplane mode if you want to keep it in your thing. Make sure that it's not dinging.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a lot of people's alarms
times.
Now, too.
Yeah, definitely. Me too. Like, I have an alarm clock, but mine's on airplane mode. Like, I actually put it on airplane mode fairly early in the evening because sometimes I just don't want to interact. Mm. I just need that kind of space. You know, so do that and then have your shower if you need to have a shower. Brush your teeth. And if you are anxious about the next day, write it down in a piece of, like, your journal. Like, what are your anxieties? So they're actually out of your head. They're on a piece of paper. you're putting it aside so you can have a good night's sleep. Sleep needs to be our focus, our primary focus, because without it, again, I cannot state this enough, we are compromising everything. We are compromising our physical and our mental well-being. And we had talked about this last in our last interview, in which we talked about the global burden of disease, how the rise of mental disorders is number 7, and the cost is in trillions. And there's a reason for that.
And you mentioned how important it was to start early, that the years early on, especially as they go in, the stresses along with teenagers, you mentioned how important it was to develop those sleep habits early.
Early on. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think like... parental role, and there are studies that are coming out in terms of parental role, how important that is as well to be a guide into those things, because you know you can't just let them be up the age of 15 and say go do your own thing. We need to also participate in those and participate in establishing those good habits for them and be role models for that as well.
So I'm going to put you on the spot.
Put me on the spot.
So here we go. One thing that I'm really passionate about is normalizing certain things in conversations. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of problems we have and a lot of stresses, especially in the teenage years, and I remember being a teenager myself, how stressful it is, and mental health becomes a big issue. By talking about things more, you normalize it and you make it easier. So I'm going to put you on the spot and say, as a parent, as somebody who has clearly interacts with teenagers, what can you tell other parents and other teens listening? What is 100% normal to expect in this sort of shift, going from relaxing and a different sort of mindset and sleep pattern in the summer to a pretty quick changeover, even if you do take these steps, to school and that structure? What does that do to you, and what can sleep do to help?
Yeah, I think it's pretty overwhelming. I'm not saying I've been a, you know, I am, as I say, a parent of a teenager, and I have seen that shift. I remember when my son went from middle school into high school, how stressful the environment is. You know, you're shifting from very protective sort of classroom with a single teacher to classrooms that you're constantly changing, and the workload goes higher up, and the social expectations are going, you know, are completely different set of rules.
Yeah.
So it's pretty overwhelming. And I think as a parent, the most important thing was to have the communication open between my child and I, and prioritizing good diet habits and prioritizing sleep. Now, my son's been part of my case study for the longest time. He's fairly well aware of the functions of sleep. Like, I didn't even have to tell him as to start resetting his clock. He was already resetting his clock a while back. And every time he spent a little, you know, bit too much time hanging out with friends late at night, he was well aware of that. He was well aware that he needed to be up at a certain time. And yeah, he's been sleeping in at times, but he's also aware that he needs to start shifting his clock time back to school time. Because if you're going in tired, first of all, if you are already tired and you're not resetting your clock and you've only had 6-7 hours of sleep prior to starting your school, the anxieties are actually going to heighten, right? You're going to feel that instead of like feeling well-rested and having a good mental space going into, you'll be able to better deal with the anxieties that are coming your way. You'll be a little bit more resilient. Whereas if your sleep is compromised and your mental health is compromised, that resilience kind of chips away. So it becomes difficult. Little things can become, you know, big mountains.
So we talked a little bit earlier about starting to set up rhythms and such. What do you think, like, a good age to start regulating that is? Like, obviously, a children's sleep pattern is different than a teen's. So what age is or when you should start applying that?
I think, like, it should be from the very beginning.
Really?
So, like, as I said, there are different recommended regulations in terms of sleep in children. So the guidelines, as I said, and I'll repeat again, for teenagers is anywhere from, and youth group. So adolescents would be, I believe,
13 to sort of 25.
24. Yeah, 24 is kind of youth and adolescents and youth. And so for them is 8 to 11 hours. But I would like to be more on, you know, longer sleep time. You know, 8 hours is still a little on the lesser side for teenagers because their brains are developing. And for the younger group, for elementary, middle school, is anywhere to 13 hours that they need sleep. So I think it would be really important to start that from the very beginning. Right. There's no particular timeline where we're like, oh, we should be setting. This should be part of growing up. This should be part of the behavior with like eating well and sleeping well, eating well, sleeping well, and move.
You're going to have a lot of people also transitioning at the end of high school into either the workforce, a college, a university, where a lot of the things you just brought up are looked at as luxuries and not necessities. Eating well is a luxury for a university student. Sleeping well is a luxury for a university student. So what do you believe that by regulating it through high school, they're going to, you know, if you do it throughout that, if you start, your body will eventually sort of get into that rhythm and it's going to be easier to keep that going?
Well, I think if you're prioritizing that, then yeah, that becomes part of your behavior. Mm-hmm. In terms of eating well, one of the things is not just like you're eating good food, your ability to be able to cook food.
Right.
Your ability to be able to cook good food in a short amount of time. So if you don't know how to cook, then that is a great impediment towards eating well. So what's going to end up happening? If you don't know how to cook, you're going to end up going to a fast food place because that's the easiest way to get your caloric intake, and it's easy, it's cheap, and you can put that in. But then again, when we're looking at fast food, that is not something healthy. That is well established. It's not healthy way to eat. So it would be good to do your shopping on the weekend. If you're living with friends,
sure.
Then have a plan. Have a plan in terms of, okay, this week we're going to do collective shopping. What are we going to cook for this particular week? And have those things organized so you're doing it collectively. So every week somebody can take on those responsibilities. They can create meal plans. And then you're eating together. Is, you know, it's a primal thing in terms of humanity. This is where we come together. This is where we sit together and eat well. And there are studies that are showing that, how amazing it is when we are eating together in terms of our stress levels. So I think for students going in, moving away from their parents' homes and of all the, soon these will be luxuries in terms of like, you know, having food cooked for you, having laundry done for you. All of those things. I think it would be great if this is the way they started thinking about and making that part and process of your everyday living, because it is mental health. It is your physical health. Like, you don't want to be having chronic diseases, you know, developing chronic diseases early on in your life. You want a good quality of life. And this is where it starts. It starts with you. It starts with our community. And I think those are very, very important things too.
And I think you bring up some really good suggestions of putting it into a schedule, prioritizing it. If you schedule it out for yourself, which a lot of students in school, you got to get used to doing anyway with homework and assignments and different things, regardless of what level of schooling you're in, scheduling that time into, this is where we go shopping. Then we're going to have meal times together. I think you're definitely right. I mean, it's all a positive thing. There's a string of commercials that used to go in front of movies, Andrew. I don't know if you remember. We saw them time and time again. It looked like a movie, but it was a food commercial.
Yeah,
but it was talking about the importance of we taking a meal together in any state. And it was showing this one person's evolution through her life, where it always revolved around eating with groups of people and how good that can be for you and how positive it is and how that like reminds you of home. And, you know, all those positive things are going to affect you in a very positive way.
Yeah, great conversations happen. Some of my best friendships have happened over food.
Yeah.
And definitely it takes time. It takes time. Like, I'm not taking that away. It will take time to be able to cook a healthy meal.
Well, and I think food is one of truly one of the only absolute universal things that everyone needs. Everybody needs to eat, and everybody needs
and sleep. And sleep.
And sleep. Yeah. 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 Not the only one. One of the only ones. Eating, sleeping, all these things we're talking about.
Yeah.
Everyone needs it, so it makes sense that you perform connections.
It's what makes you human.
Yeah.
Right? This is where your humanity is at. And I think it's a wonderful thing to be able to start thinking about how you want to live your life and how you want to make those things, prioritize those things. And I think if you're eating well, you're sleeping well, everything else will fall in place.
They've been looking at a lot of different courses at high school and trying to make them more realistic in like math. They're doing personal finance, they're talking about putting that in there. What would you think of a, like, physical education implementing some sort of healthy cooking techniques or something, because they're kind of getting away from the home ec in high schools?
Yeah, I haven't actually delved into that myself, because my son and I started looking at food when they were very young. Like, I would take them, like, my son and my niece, actually, they would, I would take them shopping with me, and we would look at different food products. We would look at the ingredients. Well, I started teaching them about ingredients in the back of the boxes. You know, anything more than 5, don't buy it. Mm. You know, and looking at fresh produce and why that's important. And now, as he's growing also, I am sending him shopping. And he is interested in cooking, although, I mean, he's not out there making full-on meals. But he is very much interested. He comes and participates with me, and he's aware of the ingredients. He's aware of the spices, and he goes shopping. And he brings food, you know, home, and we sometimes cook together. And we always try to eat, even when, you know, there are days we are watching movies and eating together. But it's, yeah.
What do you want to leave people off with? What's a message you want to leave people off with only a couple weeks left going back to school?
I think reset your clock, circadian clock. Get to know your circadian clock. And of all the teens that I have seen over the past years doing my sleep workshops, you know, we talk about this. We talk about our getting to know our own chronotypes. That is so important. And start getting yourself rested, because you know, this is, and it'll be more exciting for you if you're well rested. You know, challenges will not be so challenging. You can take it on if you are well rested, if you have the physical and the mental capability and the agility to be able to deal with all of the new and exciting and challenging things that are going to be coming your way.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for this. I think this is going to be pretty helpful for anybody who's maybe feeling some of that anxiety heading back into school and with things changing so fast. So thank you, Ruhi, for doing this.
Thank you, Mike and Andrew. Always a pleasure to be with you guys.